you're just looking in, maybe you're not a member of our church and you just happen to find us here on Facebook or YouTube or wherever, I'm Brother Ron Hawkins. I'm the pastor here at Turning Point Apostolic Church. And right now we are doing virtual services on Wednesday nights. And for now, at least, we are doing virtual services on our Sunday services as well. And so this is a good time for me to announce, and I'll also be putting a phone call out to our members that due to the rise in cases right now of the virus in our area and our hospital being overwhelmed right now, we are opting to take this Sunday and do a virtual service. And so we hate to have to do that, but this is just where we are right now. So we are going to do our best to be good neighbors and good community members. And we're praying. We want all of you that are dealing with this virus right now, and many of you are, and even several in our church right now are making their way through this the symptoms of this virus, and we're praying for you. We're asking the Lord to touch you mightily and give you a very quick recovery. We want you to know that we're here for you. And so we're praying for that, and the Lord is going to turn this around. We just know that He is and that He is with us. We're going to go to the Lord tonight. Let's pray and ask for healing for all of those who are sick, not only with COVID, of course, but anything else that you may be dealing with. People are facing surgeries right now and other kinds of sicknesses as well. We want to ask the Lord to bless the word tonight, the word that I feel like the Lord has dropped into my heart to share with you. And I pray it'll be an encouragement to you. But let's go to the Lord right now in prayer. Join me out there if you would. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now. We thank you, Lord, for your word. For we know, God, that it is our light. It is our lamp unto our feet. And Lord, we need that so desperately, especially right now. We would ask you tonight, Lord, to touch and heal those who are sick. We, by the power of the stripes on your back, we come against this disease of COVID-19, this uptick right now in our community, even in our nation. We come against that in the name of Jesus. We pray for your healing touch, for we know you are our healer. We lean on you tonight, God. We trust in you tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray that. I ask you to touch all of those who are sick. God, with every disease, we come against pain, we come against infections and viruses. Lord, we ask you to be with those who are facing surgeries right now. We know there are some. And Lord, we just pray that you would encourage those who may be discouraged right now, strengthen those that are weak. And we ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And we ask you to bless the word tonight. Help me to teach what you've laid on my heart and help us to receive it. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we give you the glory. Why don't you raise your hands out there with me, would you? And let's just give God praise. Lord, we love you. We praise you and we give you glory. For you and you alone are worthy. We thank you, Lord, that you're bigger than every problem. Lord, that we know you're on the throne and you are in control. And we give you praise right now. We lift up the name of Jesus. I pray, God, right now that you would move in every home, every car. Lord, every place that people may be watching or listening to this word. I pray right now they feel your spirit moving and strengthening them. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we pray. God, we give you the glory and the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost moving here in the sanctuary right now. I want you to know that I miss you. I miss you. We have not been able to be together now for a while. We did not have service here this past Sunday. And of course, we won't have this Sunday either, but we just want you to know we miss you. And whatever you need, please do not hesitate to reach out to us. You can call us here at the church. You can, saints, members of Turning Point, you can reach out to your care minister, your youth pastor, your children's pastor. We're all here. We want you to know that we are here. We're not taking time off. We're here, and we are here for you. We're praying for you, and we ask you to pray for us as well. Of course, this is just uncharted times, and we're making very unusual daily decisions that are difficult for us to make. And so we really need the wisdom of the Lord and the direction of the Lord. And we do not take these decisions lightly. We reach out to many people in the health field. We reach out to other elders and other pastors. And we just try to make the best and wisest decisions that we can make. And we just ask you to pray for us as we do that. Let's go to the Word. Go with me, if you would. Open your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Really, the longest chapter in the Bible, which is Psalm 119. And I want to take you to a few verses there, and we'll begin reading in verse 81. Psalm 119 and verse 81. My soul, the psalmist says, fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. And thy commandments are faithful. All of them are faithful. That they persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me, he says. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. So the psalmist here uses a very interesting simile when he describes himself as, he says, like a bottle in the smoke. Like a bottle in the smoke in verse number 83. He says, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Now when you read that, don't think in modern term bottles. He's not speaking about a glass bottle, but in Bible times, bottle here refers to a literal leather pouch, wine skins they were. These are leather pouches that they would use, leather bottles that would be able to hold and then to be capped off, but they would hold new wine. New wine, unfermented wine, would be poured into these wine skins, here referred to as a bottle, and then it would be sealed. And the elasticity of that leather bottle would allow it, when the contents, that new wine, as it would begin to ferment, and the gases would begin to build up during that fermentation process, the inward parts, the contents, would expand. And that leather bottle would be able, because it was elastic, it would be able to stretch and it would expand. Whatever happened on the inside was reflected on the outside. So as that which was on the inside would expand, that which was on the outside would expand. And there's a whole other sermon there to be preached. We won't go into that tonight. But when those bottles would become old, they'd already been stretched out and the elasticity had been lost perhaps, and they were really not good for anything after that. And here the psalmist says, I'm just like a bottle that's been hung up in the tent, those tents where the fires would burn and there's no chimney in the tent, no place for the smoke to escape. He likens himself to one of these old, used up bottles that is just there hanging in the room full of smoke, inundated by the smoke, surrounded by the smoke, afflicted by the smoke, attacked and overwhelmed. I don't know if that sounds familiar to anybody tonight, but this is the way the psalmist felt. You can see the lamentation in his spirit when he says, oh, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. Mine eyes fail for thy word. I'm like a bottle in the smoke. In other words, I'm not fit for use. I'm all washed up. I'm all used up. I have no more purpose. I feel like I can't contribute to this life or to anyone else's life for that matter. I once was a man of purpose, but I feel like I don't have any purpose anymore. And so I come tonight to this pulpit with a word for somebody who feels like David felt when he said, I just feel like an old, used up leather bottle in a room full of smoke. The smoke has dried me out and has shriveled me up, and I'm all wrinkled and pruny now, and I don't even have anything to offer to this world. I want to tell you that David looked at the Word of God. He said, for my salvation, my hope is in the Word of the Lord. I want to encourage you tonight, because I know that some of you, it's not smoke that comes against you, but it's the cares of this world. Ours is not literal smoke. Ours is sickness, and it comes against us. Ours is not literal smoke. Maybe it's financial situations that taxes you and burdens you. Maybe ours is not a literal smoke, but it's family issues that we are dealing with day in and day. It's just the day in and day out cares of this life that seem to come against you and to sap the life from us. We feel, I know some of you are dealing with this even right now. You feel inundated by life. You feel surrounded on every hand. You feel like you're afflicted on every front. And you feel like you're attacked and surrounded and overwhelmed. Can I just encourage you tonight and tell you that the same God that saw David through, he's on your side. He's not left you and he's not forsaken you. I want you to look at the words of David, the psalmist, when he says, my soul fainteth for your salvation, but I hope in thy word. David's the same one that said, Lord, thy word will I hide in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Lord, I know there's going to be times when life comes against me and tries to bring me down, going to try to drain me out. And so I'm going to hide the word of God in my heart so that when I feel like giving up, I will not give up. When I feel like running away, I will not sin against the Lord. I'm asking you tonight, have you got the Word of God hidden down in your heart? You better have. You need to have. Get the Word of God in your heart, and nothing can drag you out of this race. Get the Word of God in your heart, and there's no devil big enough. There's no trial strong enough. There's no sickness powerful enough to take the Word of God away from your heart. It'll see you through when you can't see yourself through. It'll carry you when you can't carry yourself. Somebody out there needs to shout amen. You know what I'm preaching is true. David says, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke. I just feel like the life has been drained from me. I feel useless. I feel dried up. I feel like I no longer am fit for use. I have no purpose. Can I tell you, nothing can drain the life from us like the feeling of having no purpose. When we do not understand our purpose, when we feel like we have nothing left to contribute. I've seen good people retire from jobs just because the society that they're in tells them that it's time to retire. And I don't have anything against retiring from a job. I'm going to someday when I get old enough. But I don't intend to retire, ever retire from life. And I've seen good men and good women just retire from their job, and they didn't know what to do with themselves. And in a few months, maybe a year or so, they just kind of give up on life, because I don't really feel like we were ever built to retire. Maybe from a job, maybe from an occupation, but never from the calling that God has placed on our life. Can I tell you, if you're still breathing, you still have a purpose. God still has something for you to do, something for you to accomplish. God still has his hand on you. If you're breathing air right now, I'm telling you, God has something for you. Don't you allow the smoke of this world. Don't you dare permit the cares of this life. Don't you allow those things that come against you to drain the realization of your purpose from your heart. I've come to remind you tonight of your purpose. I'm here to remind you tonight that God still has a plan for you. I thought about Joseph, young Joseph, that favored son of Jacob's, and that coat of many colors that his father gave him. That must have felt so good, and he must have felt so proud. But can I tell you that a coat of many colors doesn't really mean anything until it brings a purpose into his existence. that favor didn't mean anything. The father's favor didn't mean anything until he began to come. God began to lead him into positions, to position him for his purpose. And so I thought about Joseph, and I was studying the scripture tonight, and I thought about how he must have felt as a young man to have God literally give him, to instill in him a dream that someday he would be a leader. Someday there would be his brethren would bow down to him. His own parents would come to bow down to him, to have that dream that he knew in his heart of hearts was from the Lord, and then to be cast down by his brothers into the pit, and then to be sold into slavery into Potiphar's house, and then to be put in the prison in Egypt. And there in the prison of Egypt, he interprets the dreams of two men. In prison with Joseph is the king's butler and the king's baker. Both of them come to Joseph with dreams. They both had dreams that are troubling them. And they ask Joseph to interpret their dreams. Joseph tells the butler that his dream means that he's going to be restored to his previous position with the king, that he will be favored and restored. Unfortunately for the baker, not so well, not so good for him. He says, you're going to be killed. The king is going to kill you. And sure enough, both of the interpretations of those dreams came to fruition. And he simply asked the butler, listen, whenever you are the cupbearer of the king again, when you're serving him, when you're there by him in the throne, would you do me a favor? My story is simple. I've been sold into slavery. I should not be here. I was betrayed by my brethren. I've done nothing wrong. I was wrongly accused in Potiphar's house. And here I am in prison. And would you speak to the king on my behalf? And the butler assured him, when I'm restored, Joseph, don't you worry, buddy. I got your back. I'm gonna mention you to the king. Well, like so many people do when their dreams are fulfilled, they forgot about those who helped them get there. And the butler gets to his reassignment and forgets all about Joseph there in the prison. For many, many days, he doesn't remember Joseph until the Pharaoh has a dream that needs to be interpreted. You know the rest of the story, I'm sure, but I thought about Joseph when I was studying this scripture, how he must have felt there in the prison, with the dream still in his heart, still in his mind, that God had put in him, that people were going to come to him, that he was going to be a leader, that people would bow down to him. He didn't know what it all meant, but he knew that he had a dream from God. He knew he had a purpose. But I wonder if Joseph went to sleep at night some nights wondering, am I just an old bottle? Oh, am I just an old bottle in a room full of smoke? Is this all there is to life? Am I just all dried up and shriveled up and wrinkled up? And have no more purpose? Am I going to die here in this prison, not ever realizing what God has placed in my heart? I wonder if he ever wrestled with that. But then I have to see Joseph in my mind's eye when he would begin to reminisce about that dream that God had given him. It was in his heart. It was in his mind. And just like David had hidden the word of God in his heart, Joseph had hidden the dream from God in his heart. It had to be what saw him through night after night after night. I don't know who I'm preaching to tonight, but some of you feel like the devil has tried to rob you of your dream. You've almost given up. You don't even know if you want to pray again. You don't even know if you're going to believe another day. Can I tell you, God has laid it on my heart to tell you to keep on believing. God is still hearing your prayer. God has not forsaken you. He knows where you are. You might be in the deepest pit of your life, and you might be in the darkest dungeon of your life, but God will never leave you nor forsake you. He will go with you to the very end. You need to receive that word tonight. Somebody, the devil's trying to knock you out, You need to receive this word. Reach out and embrace it. Reach out and believe it. Come on, right now, you need to reach up to heaven and begin to believe God afresh. Lord, I believe you. I'm sorry, God, that I ever doubted you, Lord. I know you'll never leave me. I know you're on my side. I know you hear my prayer. And devil, you're a liar and the father of them. I pray that in the name of Jesus right now, you'll allow the Lord to rekindle in your heart strong faith and strong belief that he's going to see you through. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. Come on, he didn't bring you through all that stuff to fail you now. No, no, no. John the Baptist, he served the Lord well. He was his forerunner. He preached to droves of people. You better repent. Kingdom of God is at hand. Kingdom of heaven is coming. And then that one day when he saw Jesus walk on the scene, and he pointed to Jesus and said, "Behold, behold the Lamb." And then from that day forward, the focus shifted from John to Jesus. John's followers began to fall off and follow Jesus. That was his entire purpose. That was his entire purpose. He was born to prepare the way for Jesus. And then, you know the story of John the Baptist. It doesn't end well, not for John. John is hated, and he's finally put in prison, and he's awaiting his own death, his own beheading. There he is in the prison. There he is in the prison. He had followers. Days ago, he had crowds, and now nobody even comes to see him. He seems like he's forgotten. And there he is. I wonder about John. We don't have to wonder much because we get a glimpse of the way he thinks. We get a glimpse of his musings when he reaches out to Jesus, sends word to Jesus through a couple of his own disciples, says, "You go ask Jesus. I want you to go ask him, is he really the one? Is he really the one? Is he really the one I preached about? Is he really the one that I came to prepare the way for? Is he the one? Or should we be looking for another? Because I got to tell you right now," he didn't say this part, but I know it's implied. "I got to tell you right now, it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like it. I don't feel like this is what was supposed to happen. I don't understand where I am right now. I don't feel like I felt a few days ago. I just got to tell you tonight, but you can't go by your feelings because they will mislead you." His disciples go to Jesus and say, "Lord, we got to ask you a question. This is straight from John. He asked us, now this is John, this isn't us, you understand, but he wants to know, are you really the one or should we be looking for somebody else?" And Jesus' answer blows me away. It's a simple reply. Jesus does not become indignant. He does not become insolent. He does not go say, he doesn't run and put John in his place. He simply says, "Go tell John. You tell him what you're witnessing here. You tell him that the blinded eyes are opened. Tell him that the deaf are hearing. Tell him that the lame are walking. Tell him that the good news is being preached to the poor." In other words, tell him that everything that's been prophesied regarding the Messiah is coming to fruition. Tell him that the kingdom of God that he prepared the way for is going right ahead. Tell him that his purpose was not lost. Let him know that he served the way that he was supposed to serve, and he served well. And as soon as John the Baptist's messengers go on back to John, Jesus turns to the crowd and says, "You better know John was the man." He begins to sing John's praises. Why? Because John was a man who fulfilled his purpose. He might have had his doubts there. They just needed to be assuaged for a moment, but John served his purpose. And Jesus wanted to massage John's spirit and say, "Look, you need to understand that this is not lost. Everything you did was not for nothing. You are a part of this work. You are a part of this ministry." Can I encourage you tonight? You may not always know what your purpose is. You may not always understand all of your contribution, but rest assured, as long as you're praying the will of God, as long as you're allowing the Lord to use you, some of you right now, you are praying prayers that if you stop praying, they would never be prayed. Some of you are reaching out to people and it doesn't feel like much, but you're texting people, or you're there when somebody gives you a phone call, you're just lending an ear. You send a card, or you say a kind word. Maybe you gave somebody $5 when you didn't really have it to spend, and you don't even understand I got to tell you, I'm bragging on my wife just a little bit. She's one of the sweetest people I know, and I think one of the best people in the world. And she is one of those people who underestimate herself. And somebody threw her a compliment the other day in the professional realm, and they gave her a compliment. And she said, I just told them, well, I'm just doing what anybody else would do. And I said, honey, you don't understand. Not everybody would do what you're doing. And that's just the way people are. Christians are. That's just the way we are. We're just doing what we feel like we need to do. This is people that are fulfilling God's purpose. You don't understand when you say a kind word, or when you step in to fill a gap, or when you just do something nice for somebody. You may not understand, but understand that God is using you in His kingdom. I feel like preaching tonight. I didn't come to preach. I came to teach, but I feel a preaching spirit on me. Somebody's spirit needs this. You need to know that even though you may not be in the limelight, you may not be in a pulpit, you may not have anybody following you on Facebook, but that little bit that you're doing is really a lot. That little bit, you feel like it's not much. Some of you feel like you're just a bottle in the smoke. But God says, no, no, no. I'm still using you. I'm still moving through you. And if you do it unto the least of these, remember that scripture? If you give a poor person a drink of water, somebody who's thirsty, you give somebody who has no clothes, you give them some clothes, you visit those who are afflicted and have nobody to come and see them. Today we can do that even with a phone call or a text or a Facebook message, whatever. He says, when you've done it to the least of these, Jesus said, you've done it unto me. Oh, so listen to me tonight. Don't you be discouraged. Don't you be discouraged in these last days. Don't you let the devil come in like that smoke and make you feel like a bottle in the smoke, and you're all used up and you have nothing to contribute and you're just hanging there and you don't really have any purpose anymore. The devil is a liar. God is using you, and so you keep on letting God use you. You keep on letting God use you. You keep on letting God use you. You keep on letting God lead you. You keep on letting God lead you. You keep on letting God move through you and speak through you and reach through you. Don't be weary in well-doing. Come on, folks. We're too close to due season here. And in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. Lord, I pray that your word tonight would get into our hearts, get into our spirits, get into our minds. I pray for those tonight. Lord, I know the devil is lying to people, trying to make them feel like right now they have no purpose in this life. But devil, you're a liar. And right now I speak revelation into the lives of God's people, that their eyes would be opened and understand that, Lord, you are using them even right now. And you will continue to use them in these last days. And Lord, we will know our God and we will do exploits. Use us, your people, I pray. Lead us and guide us in your ways. I ask it all in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord. And we give you the glory and the praise. We say thank you for tuning in tonight to our live stream. We always enjoy having you with us. And it's a blessing. What a blessing it is to be able to come and address you and to be part of your Wednesday nights and your Sundays. So remember, this Sunday our live stream will be at 10 o'clock. We look forward to being with you. We're going to have some praise singers and musicians here in the church. And so we're going to do some live praise and worship. You won't want to miss it. Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, we're going to have a time. You may not be here in person, but you can sure be here in spirit. So turn on your Facebook. Wake your family up. Don't watch it later. Wake them up. Say, hey, get up. I don't even care if you watch it in your PJs. Maybe you can watch it while you eat your bacon and eggs. I don't care. But watch it as a family. Get the word of God out. Watch it as a family. Sing with us and worship with us and let the Lord bless you. And we say God bless you, and we'll see you Sunday at 10 o'clock.